It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Talking Bears getting set for Tom Brady and the Bucks.
This was not the song I was thinking about. This is Ozzy. I was thinking about Billy Joel, so.
This is the time to remember, 'cause it will not last forever. These are the days to hold on to, 'cause we won't the world will want to. This is the time, but time is gonna change.
Okay, this song is playing as the videos of my, like, my rehearsal dinner for my wife and I, my lovely wife and I. This, remember when you put videos together that kind of signify the relationship?
I was thinking about your girls.
This is it.
They still do
what
that.
About when your daughters get married?
Yeah,
think
I'm
about
crying
how you'll
right
cry
now.
To this.
My wife, if she was listening right now, which I'm sure she's not, she'd kick my ass for not knowing what song this was. We still have the VHS of this. I should bring that in.
Are you going to
so
play
you guys can, that's right. You guys don't have a VHS machine, do you? Like, I'm sporting the red hot mullet. She's got, like, you know, 80s rock band hair. Like, we're both tan as a day. Well, as tan as I can be. Tan as a day as long, getting ready for the wedding day. I mean, it was, yeah.
Oh,
it was,
listen to that.
It was early 90s. Priceless. Everybody's crying as the video of the kids, you know, or as we were kids growing up. There's Tom Waddle as he grows up. He goes to high school. He goes to college. He meets Kara. This is Kara growing up as a baby with mom and dad. And then they find each other in college. And it's magical. This was the song that was playing for the entire video.
It is a very memorable song.
Yeah.
Like, to all those highlights, the memories.
What is that called? Your is like rehearsal dinner video?
This is the time to remember.
You believe you're
53? I'm getting melancholy right now.
Can you believe you're 53?
I can't believe I have a 27-year-old daughter, a 25-year-old daughter, a 22-year-old daughter, and a 17-year-old daughter.
Like, can we bring Yurko in, though? Because, like, we invited him back to the show. We haven't talked to him in weeks.
Sorry about that,
and then now we're making him wait. And
I was going down memory lane.
We missed him so much. We miss your scent, good kid.
Do you remember your rehearsal dinner video, Yurko?
We didn't have much of a rehearsal dinner video. I'm trying to remember where our rehearsal dinner was. You know, I know we got married at St. Andrews. I'm just trying to remember where the hell we ate the day before. I forgot.
Yeah, I don't even remember where mine was either. Just remember that.
You know how emotional that is, Tommy.
Yeah, I know.
It's a whirlwind of activity. Yeah, and, yeah. You know, I paid for the crux of the wedding for basically everything.
So did we.
And it was quite a shock, you know?
I would advise.
I'm on the first ski here at beautiful Innsbruck Country Club.
Oh, nice. I would just finally.
Let's call it South Gary.
Okay.
That's where we're at.
Just want to wrap up this conversation. Just a bit of advice for all of the grooms to be. Don't drink too much the night before your wedding because you don't want to feel bad on the altar.
Right.
That's
right.
That's
or
all
get
I got.
Too hammered at your wedding where you don't remember anything.
All right. Now
the craziest part of my wedding was 95 degrees. If you take a look at it, June 17th, 1995, look at the temperature in Chicago. It was hot.
Hot.
Hot, I tell you. And one of the altar boys passed out. So you definitely could not overdrink. If you overdrink, you were going to be in trouble.
I don't know why that's so funny.
I don't know why it's funny either. But
yeah, it's good. All right, so the good kid's on every day, 10 to noon, with Carmen. And, of course, before he was a radio star, he played for, what was it, three different teams or four if you count the Dolphins?
Four. Why wouldn't I count the Dolphins? I threw up on Marino's carpeting. Why wouldn't I count?
Right. Come on. That's the memorable start to his career.
So Yurko joins us on the Corona Hotline right now. And, all right, so what we wanted to talk to you in your defensive brain. Why aren't Mac and Quinn dominating like we thought they would dominate?
Well, first of all, you got to take a look at it. They are getting good pass rushes in there, and they are coming off the corner. A lot of teams are cognizant of the fact that, hey, they've got a pretty good pass rush, and you have an X amount of time to throw the ball. and they're doing a good job. I can't tell you how many times I've seen Quinn come around the corner, maybe three, and Mac free, where they made a great clean move, and they're getting to the quarterback, and the ball's out before they can get to the quarterback. And the last thing you can do is jack the quarterback up anymore, because if you hit him, you touch him like Akeem Hicks, accidentally touches the guy, he ends up on the ground. I'll tell you this. Akeem Hicks has been absolutely efficient this year.
Yeah.
And when he gets a legitimate sack opportunity, he's gotten that sack. Whereas opposed to both Mack and Quinn, when they get a sack opportunity, they don't necessarily capitalize and bring the individual to the ground. But it should be better. It's not where it needs to be. It should be better, but there are signs out there where they're out there, they're beating people, but it's not happening because the ball's coming out a little bit quicker. Or, you know, they're dropping him in coverage, which I don't usually see, but I don't know what Khalil Mack was doing in coverage on two straight plays.
Johnny, how much do they miss Goldman, both in the run game and in passing situations?
Well, I thought, here's what they miss. I think they miss Goldman in the run, and some of what you've seen where they've had a few problems with the run is because Bilal Nichols hasn't been able to replicate what Goldman can do in there. And they've actually kind of moved Nichols out. I don't think they've played him as much in there. Maybe they throw 90 in there, Jenkins, or they've thrown some other bodies in there. Nichols went into the middle, and listen, you got to be a monster to play in the middle. Okay, it's no joke in there. You can't see stuff, you've got to feel stuff. Other times they get in trouble as their defensive ends getting upfield in second and eight situations, and they don't create the corner, they don't retrace their steps to come back and help on a play, and you put your linebackers out on an island where they've got a two-way go and they've got to cover 5 yards to the left, 10 yards to the right, and there's pretty much no way in the world any linebacker can do that. So that's just recognition. Okay, we're rushing the passer. Oh, it's a draw. Stop, retrace your steps, get back to where you were, and then you can help shut down the play. So there's something. Listen, they've had chances to make plays. They've had chances to make interceptions. There have been balls up there. There have been 50-50 balls. They haven't come down with them. Mack's drop of an interception was brutal. You can't do that. It's in your hands. You know, it's like Kyle Fuller a couple years ago against Green Bay. The ball's thrown right into your chest and you drop it. Those are game-changing big plays that affect everything that's going on. When you don't make them, it's a problem. You know, there's two or three of those a game. And when you don't pounce on a fumble, you know, you don't make the interception, then it's going to cause a problem for your team.
So, Yerk, if you were a member of this Bears defense and you heard this conversation that we were having right now, talking about the defense, and you're in your car, are you thinking, damn, why are they talking about us who gave up 19 points to the Colts when our offense continues to struggle when points are at a high in the NFL? Or are you saying, look, we expect to be great, we've got to be better anyway?
You control what you can control, and all the defense can control is their performance. And have they had a perfect performance yet this year? No. The answer is no, they haven't had a perfect performance. As a team, they found a way to win three games relying upon each other. So congratulations to the team. But the defense hasn't come out there and said, hey, we're going to dominate the game. You only have to score 7 points, and that's all it's going to take. We're going to be winners today. You're always looking to improve on whatever you got. They haven't played a perfect game. They're a long way away from playing a perfect game, so hopefully they can find a way to do it.
Do you see any type of scheme differences between what Vic was running and what Chuck Pagano's running?
I think the pass rush they had coming in that first year was a surprise to a lot of people. It took some time for them to adjust to it. But Khalil Mack was at his best that year. And what they were doing schematically, and you had a bunch of guys that were hungry, a bunch of guys that were trying to prove himself. Danny Trevathan was actually a somewhat viable player. I don't know what Trevathan is right now after the knee injury last year. I don't recognize the player. You know, Roquan's getting out there, getting chances to make play. But Roquan, like anybody else, when you go up against a 320-pound offensive lineman, you have a tendency to get swallowed up. So when he can avoid that, he's athletic and he can make plays, and he has been making some plays. I like being aggressive. I like blitzing off the corner. You know, whether it's with 58, whether it's with, you know, anybody else, Eddie Jackson, whoever, bring the slot corner and bring him on a blitz. Whatever you want to do, I'm up for.
It's what the Bucs do. I think there's only one or two teams that blitzes more than what they're doing with Todd Bowles, I think, in the Bucs. Isn't that correct?
No, I don't have the stats right in front of me, but if I did, I'd be able to tell you.
But I think that's the style they're employing.
I like to bring the blitz. I like to put the pressure on. I like to force execution. That's my personal theory. That's what I like. So I'd be looking for a little bit more of that. And, you know me, if they're beating you in the run, like the offensive line for Indianapolis was pretty darn good. I like to move my people. And Akeem Hicks made a couple plays, swimming to the right, swimming to the left, because you can't just sit there as a defensive lineman and get pounded. You know, at some point you got to use something else and you got to cause some hesitation in the mind of the offensive lineman. And that's what I'd be going for. But listen, Eddie Jackson needs to play better. He can. Kyle Fuller needs to play better. He can. And they're going to have to. Okay? They've got to play better. They've got a defensive backfield. The rookie's going to be the rookie. He's going to make some mistakes. He's going to look foolish. He's going to look like he has no idea what outside leverage for his arm is. And he'll get buried inside and he'll bounce it back outside. Or he'll just caught standing on his toes and looking into the backfield, not finding the ball. And the next thing you know, he's by him. Okay, that's going to happen to him. Okay? So you just hope at some point he keeps getting better and keeps getting better and keeps getting better and becomes a complete cornerback. That's all.
Well, what is the point, Yerk, when guys like me who didn't play and we see this, when Khalil Mack is out in coverage, what's the point of having your best pass
rusher? The point is you want to throw a changeup. The point is that you want to dictate the slide. So you know where the slide's going to come to. You know where the help's coming. And then you try to scheme something on the backside away from Khalil. You make it look like he's coming. They're all set for him to come. All of a sudden, you drop him in coverage, and now the offensive line is going, oh, hell, it's coming from the other way. Hopefully, our quarterback can get rid of the ball.
Are you still a fan of that? Like, should your best pass rusher always be pass rushing,
I think
though?
So. No, I mean, I'm a fan of it. Now, there's still a reason I'm a fan of it. Again, I was shocked it happened two plays in a row. But, you know, people used to yell at Reggie, you're getting all this money. You're getting all this money, Reggie White. And he'd be on the sidelines because he needed a break. Listen, a guy can't play 75 plays in a row. You get into a 10-play drive, if you're not going to rest your defensive lineman, by the seventh, eighth play, he ain't worth crap anyway. I'd rather have a 100% Gabe Wilkins in there rushing than a 70% Reggie White, because the 70% Reggie White is not as good as 100% Gabe Wilkins. So, you know, in that regard, you've got to rest people. And then sometimes you just got to be able to say, hey, we're going to bring it, and then we're going to drop them into coverage, and hopefully we get in schematically from the other side.
I mean, one of the keys, too, has to be Quinn getting healthy enough to be able to get out there and make a difference, which will then take some pressure off of Mack. It's almost like a domino effect, isn't it, John, that like if you're getting pressure from a number of different places, they can't plug all the holes.
Well, yes, that's it. If you've got two viable options coming from the outside, you can't slide both ways.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can leave six in and force the team to protect with six when you're rushing four if you're doing it correctly and you're doing it the right way. You know, that's ideal for a defense. Now what are you facing? You've only got four receivers going out, you know, three receivers, a tight end or whatever. If you keep the tight end and you keep the back end and they've got a block, now all you're dealing with is receivers. You know, three receivers that are out there. I think I'm counting the numbers right. Five, six, seven, quarterback, eight. You got three wide receivers out. So you got seven guys covering three. I like my defensive chances. Seven covering three, and then eventually for one of my guys to break through and get the sack.
Yeah.
Or quarterback to hold.
Before we let you go, what's your prediction for tomorrow?
Well, I'm hurting. I want the Bears to win, but they can't beat Tom Brady. And until they beat Tom Brady, I can't believe in them beating Tom Brady. Now, this might change in the morning, but I'm looking at a game that's probably 27-24, 27-21, the angle I see it.
I'm with you, too. Yeah, I've got almost that exact score. Good kid. Yeah. We miss you.
Right,
we miss seeing you every day.
Hey, last Monday I worked till 2. I saw my guy Tommy Waddle. I got a scent in his musk.
That's right. We wallowed in each other's scent and musk.
Yes,
see
we
you
did.
It was delightful. Hit him straight.
There you go. Is he golfing today?
What he said. He was on the tee.
Yeah, he was on the tee. Oh, wow. Okay. I want to ask you a question about something that's happened in the last 24 hours, okay? And based on the song that you were singing coming in.
Okay.
I want to tie it all together, and that's coming up next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
We had a lot of Bears talk early. We've also done some reminiscing here. A lot of reminiscing in the last 24 hours.
And by the way, the conversation with Yurko wasn't about how you and I or anybody's disappointed in the defense. It was just we wanted to get the insight from a defensive lineman why maybe this pass rush hasn't been as dynamic off the edge as it maybe was last year or the year before.
Like what did Weederer say yesterday? The Bears with Quinn and Mack are on pace between the two of them to have how many sacks?
Right now, Khalil has a sack and a half, and Quinn's got one. So they've got 2.5 through 4 weeks. So times four, it's 10, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, that's not what you pay for. I know pressures are very, very important. But, yes, and like you said, if everyone's getting pressure, then someone should be open to get the sack. You know what I mean?
No doubt. No doubt. You know, also takeaways was their thing in 2018. They have one fumble recovery and three interceptions. That's a takeaway once every game. You know, they're on pace.
Bears team
operates. Yeah, they're on pace for 16 takeaways.
Yes, and they need them now more than ever with the offense struggling. Yeah. Yes, it is fair to be really upset and sucking your thumb like Waddle is watching offensive tape, but because they're so bad, that's where you need the defense to step up.
Whether it's fair or not that you're having to ask the defense to be almost great. Like, we can be pissed that they give up 19 total points against the Colts. You know, it's kind of where you are right now until this offense shows you that they're capable of taking some of the pressure off of that defense.
So I've had fun in the last 24 hours because of a sad story. Eddie Van Halen, it happened like at around this time yesterday, and we played Van Halen music the entire time. I've read so many great articles about Van Halen. It's out there. It's so many good things about from his guitar playing to the drama inside Van Halen. It's all so good, and it totally had me reminiscing. And like Waddle told us some great stories about his high school years. Like, and that's the great thing about music. Like, and we were playing Billy Joel earlier. Like, you hear one song, and whether it was that Billy Joel song we were playing, and it brought you back to the rehearsal dinner of Waddle and Cara getting married, or, you know, a high school party where a buddy would bring two milk cartons full of beer.
Yes.
I want to go around the room because I was thinking about this. You could pick your favorite time, like any time in your childhood or growing up, okay? So it could be when you're 10. It could be when you're in high school. Just like when you think about something that brings you back to that perfect moment, like what is it or what does that?
That's
what
reminds, easy for me.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you heard Eddie Van Halen's guitar, and, dude, you were what's his name? Whose driveway you were in?
Tom Thierry.
You were in Tom Thierry's driveway.
Yes, remembering
because
him.
Of Eddie Van Halen's guitar.
Yeah. Listen, for me, it's really easy. My high school days are my favorite, and that's athletically as well.
So like, what brings you back there? What thing will trigger that image of high school? Is it like hearing Van Halen?
Yeah, it's Van Halen and The Who. Those were the two, and the B-52s. Every now and again, the B-52s would be on. We play the B-52s. You want to get really crazy. But yeah, like I think music plays a big role in remembering.
Hold on, I gotta jump in here. You said B-52s,
yeah,
the Rock Lobster.
He loves
was it Rock Lobster?
Yeah,
he loves
that
it.
Is one of the all-time what the blank songs ever.
Like, man, the best time of my life.
And
we
now
were
the
at
Norwalk.
The beach. Everybody had crazy. Matching towels.
Yes, it was crazy. But like, think about the electric. Yes, you got it. Zapp and Roger. There's like, I can give you Prince, Zapp and Roger, B-52s, Van Halen.
They call off all the animals, all the sea creatures.
I'm just telling you. Like, it was when I was little younger, it was Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson because that was all my dad ever played in his 8-track in the car as we would go anywhere.
Right.
But then when I got to be, you know, a little older and I was out doing my own thing in high school, it was The Who, it was Van Halen, it was, like I said, if you got a little weird, it was the B-52s.
And it doesn't have to be music. I'm not asking you guys, like, for Black and Abdallah. I'm not asking you guys, like, which song brings you back or which group. I'm asking you what triggers that great memory for you. What thing can you go back in a blink of an eye to your favorite time of your childhood?
Leo Sayers, All Out of Love, right, guys?
I'm all out of love.
Don't be stealing my B-52s now.
No, I was just going to let you do the roll call with all the sea creatures.
Yeah, I don't. This wasn't like one of the. This was kind of like the commercial hit from them. We weren't commercial B-52 fans.
Oh, you were
the other stuff.
There was like one good B-52 song commercially.
What can I tell you? We were weird.
Yeah, that's what you like.
Stone.
That's what you like.
Not really.
What about you guys? Do you guys have something?
So, for me, I love going to concerts. The last year has sucked. I was supposed to see Rage Against the Machine twice and Alkaline Trio like five times like I usually do every year. And all the other concerts, Dead and Company and all that kind of stuff. So, to me, when a band puts out a live album of a concert that I've been to, it's the best. Because you get to relive that moment. And like there's one Alkaline Trio live album that I go back to all the time because I was there. And I remember when they were playing, this is like 5 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. They were playing all of their albums all the way through, but they were doing them in like a weird, or they were playing their newest album first and then their first album. So like everybody was there kind of like dealing with their newest album because it wasn't very good. And then the second they started that first album, like everyone just kind of was like, hey, I'm in the back. You know what's a good place to see a concert? The front. And like it was just this at the Metro, it was just this huge just like wave of people, and it was so much fun. And just like live, to me, live music is my favorite thing in the world to see. So anytime I can hear like a live concert of a good live band.
So you're going back to the 20s, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like anytime I can go see live music. The other one, I looked this up specifically just because I'm in the room with him, is anytime I hear Love in This Club by Usher, it takes me back to the summer of 08. It's the best summer. It's the summer after we graduated from college. Bleck and I lived together, and people say high school.
We went out, eight nights a week?
Eight nights a week.
That summer?
Nine, if it was possible. Yeah, but basically, people say, oh, high school was the best time. College was the best time. To me, it was after college when you had a little bit of money, you had your first job, you had some responsibilities, but like you weren't taking care of kids and like you weren't doing all that kind of stuff. You just basically had like rent and bills. But the rest was all disposable income because you were like, I'm not saving money.
Yeah,
saving
man, we
money.
We bought a PS2, a PS3. Yeah. We had it working.
So like the summer of 08.
I had two kids at that time.
Well,
I mean,
that's, you know.
Well, look at you.
Decisions. These are different generations.
Look at you. Look at us. Cool. Who's doing it right? We don't know. We're in the same spot.
We don't know. Yeah. So to me, it's anything from the year 2008 that takes me back to that year. We were like out in Wrigleyville, Lakeview, Lincoln Park all the time.
It's good stuff. Like for me, it's not even music. Like anytime I pass a 7-Eleven, the time when you were 12 or 13 and you had the baseball mitt over your bicycle and there was a day like today and you'd be just playing with your friends organizing a baseball game, and you go for a Slurpee and play video games afterwards and buy a bunch of Bubble Yum or Big League Chew.
Is that after you yelled at the entire team for not being in the right position for a ground ball?
This was an organized baseball, Waddle. This was pickup like Lob League or Fast Pitch that we were playing on a summer day. Like, to me, if I could go back in time any time, and what best represent that is the 7-Eleven sign. We've got video games. We've got Slurpees. I've got $3. I'm going to get some gum, play some games, and get a Slurpee.
And on the way out,
50 cents, and we're going to play some baseball.
You'd slide a Zagnut bar in your pants and steal a candy bar.
Oh, what? Are you talking about Zagnut?
What is that?
It's a candy bar.
Is it? It's got some nuts in it?
Yeah.
I've not heard of
you. Never heard of the Zagnut bar?
A candy produced and sold in the United States. It was launched in 1930 by the D.L. Clark Company.
So was the
Milky Ways. I mean, like, they're all.
Its main ingredients are peanut butter and toasted coconut. Okay.
Give us a promo. Like, this is an old radio spot. Go ahead.
When you're feeling lucky and you've had a great game, take your friends out to the 7-Eleven and grab yourself a Zagnut bar. Peanut butter, coconut, it's like a tropical paradise that sticks to your teeth.
Just 5 cents.
Just 5 cents? 3 for 15 cents. No deals here, kid. Get out.
That's so good. That's what these things, like when we reminisce, hear the Billy Joel or hear Van Halen or see something in those senses.
You know what happened? Like, I just real quick, that there was a 7-Eleven type. It was one of those convenience stores.
And like always, White Hen was really popular here.
Yeah. But I was really young, and we'd ride our bikes down there. and my cousin Chuck would be sitting outside, and he was always a little hammered. And I'd be like, what's wrong? What's wrong with Chuck? I'd drive riding my bike home, and I'd say to my mom, what's wrong with Chuck?
How old was Chuck?
Oh, he was 18. But, I mean, like, Chuck was always standing outside the convenience store and was always a little hammered. And I was like, I can remember that all the time. I was like, what the hell is, what's Chuck doing over here?
Silent Bob out there standing outside the convenience store. All right, Bleck, do you have one really quick? I know we got to go to Waddle's World.
Yeah, I'm with you on the things of that jog your memory. One thing that always hits me is like a hot September day where, you know, the asphalt, the cement, where you could see the little wavy lines coming off of it.
Gets
and the fresh cut grass always reminds me of going back to school in like high school, like 17, 18, having to go to cross country practice. The football players are out there practicing. Whenever I smell the
fresh cut grass
in the grass and it's hot, like a hot September day, it always takes me right back to high school.
Yeah, see, that's good stuff. All right, Waddle's World is always great. That's coming up. We'll take more of your phone calls. 5 o'clock, it's Michael Wilbon.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports things. Look at the aerobics in here. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. It's making my head spin how many activities we can do.
As we enter.
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
Yeah, this is how we do it inside Waddle's World. Brought to you by our great friends at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC. We've got a couple of baseball games underway. The Braves are leading the Marlins 2-0 in the eighth. I'm waiting for that game to be over so I can switch it over to the Astros and A's.
Any fights between those two with Acuna and everything?
Yeah, I haven't seen anything, but Abdallah's got the TV on the Braves and the Marlins because he's got money on the Braves. But in the bottom of the third, the Astros and the A's are tied at 2.
No, I was talking about fights in the Marlins game, in the Marlins-Braves game. Because Acuna, what was his quote yesterday? It was
can't get you out, so they're going to hit him.
Right, but he had a good quote about that.
He said he's not going to apologize. He goes, I'm not apologizing for anything.
It was like the sorry I'm not sorry line, and it was fantastic.
By the way, wasn't it the Marlins pitcher that actually was shoving on the Cubs that took the mound today?
Alcantara,
Who got cracked a little early in the game.
Here's the quote. He said, I'd like to apologize to absolutely nobody. No. It's so great.
That is good stuff. Okay, so that's your baseball update. If you wanted one, if you didn't want one, don't care. Patriots Stephon Gilmore has tested positive for COVID-19. He confirmed the positive diagnosis, writing on Twitter that he is currently asymptomatic. He obviously joins Cam Newton as Patriots players who have tested positive for the virus in recent days. By the way, did you see, obviously, I saw it when it happened, not knowing that Gilmore was obviously positive after the game. With the Chiefs, there was quite an embrace between Gilmore and Patrick Mahomes.
Not only that, he played, I think I saw this correctly, he played 100% of the defensive snaps.
And isn't this a good example? I'm no doctor. Isn't this a good example though? And Gilmore's a guy that they knew had been around Cam Newton for a while. It was, you know, they were identifying players, and didn't they send a second plane with guys that had contact with Newton but were still negative?
Oh, really?
I may have my facts a little bit wrong.
Concerns.
No, they did that last year because they've done this before. So last year, the flu went through the Patriots. So they did two planes, people that had the flu and people who didn't have the flu.
Now,
this year, they did it with people who were in contact with Cam Newton and people who were not in contact.
Right, and Kraft owns the one plane.
Yeah,
I think they probably chartered the other one for all the guys the dirty guys that had been in contact with.
Dirty guys?
Well, I'm just saying the guys have been with Cam, but isn't this an example of
COVID and how it could spread?
Well, no, it's about the incubation period, right?
Right, because, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Because we were worried, we said Monday before this game, that everyone tested negative. But we know that when you're exposed to COVID, that there's like a 10 or 14 day lapse sometimes that could happen. You could test positive right away, but just because you test negative 2 days afterwards doesn't mean that you're going to test positive. You could still test positive the next day. It's right. Like the Titans the last couple of days didn't have any positive tests, but they now have had another one. So that's what I mean. You got to wait a long period of time to know you're totally out of the woods.
Yeah, you're like constantly living your life in a time travel movie where you're retracing your steps from 5 days ago, right?
Yeah.
So like even though you test positive or you test negative at the moment,
right,
you still have to be cautious. And like that's why the hug at the end of the game with Mahomes is something to note, because it's like, right, okay, if everyone's okay to get this game played, why are you all congregating afterwards?
Well, wasn't there the rule that there was going to be
no...
You're
not supposed to,
yeah,
right?
You're not supposed to. And by the way, Mahomes has referenced it as a bit of a mental lapse.
Yeah.
Right, and they're saying treat everybody like you think the other person has COVID.
Yeah.
You can't be doing that. And again, there's that time lapse where today Kansas City all tested negative. It doesn't mean tomorrow they're all going to test negative.
Right. Well, and speaking of the Titans, Titans players held a workout at a Nashville school last week. One day after the Titans closed their facility amid a COVID-19 outbreak in the organization, a group of players actually worked out last Wednesday at a school in Nashville.
Abdallah, we got to bring up your topic at about 4, about I think you've got a good solution with how football can make up some games that are going to be missed.
Well, and also, so the workouts were on the 30th, and the NFL didn't release their guidelines until the 1st.
Right, because there's been talk about forfeiture of games if, in fact, you aren't following protocol. But that was something that was talked about after this took place.
Yes.
So
they're not talking about forfeiture. That's what's being reported.
Okay.
J.J. Watt, Bill O'Brien got into a heated exchange during a recent practice. Maybe
so
that led
to... Why?
Do
you think that added to it?
That probably didn't help the case or the cause, did it?
When you're arguing with one of your star players?
Yeah, when you're, your coach and your star player are having a bit of a beef right there. Probably not a good thing. Ben Roethlisberger, on his forced bye week, said the Steelers got the short end of the stick. And the NFL may relocate the Monday Night Football game because of Hurricane Delta.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
Chargers and Saints may move from New Orleans to Indianapolis because of the hurricane.
But going back to Roethlisberger, there are going to be teams that are going to get unfair things happen to them because of COVID. And we just have to live with it.
Right.
We have
no,
to
you're
live
right.
With
and
it.
That's part of the larger discussion, I think, that we're going to have with Adam a little bit later about how the NFL may have to be flexible with how they do some stuff going forward.
I think he's got a great idea.
Seahawks are going to sign Snacks Harrison to the practice squad, which just means he's going to be on the practice squad until it's time to play, and then he's going to be on the real squad. Then he's going to go out there and stuff some runs. That's what he does.
Why weren't the Bears? Why didn't the Bears?
I think they were.
In?
I think they were interested, but it comes down to, I mean, he's 31 years old. He's been in the league for a long time. Comes down to him deciding where he wants to play. And if let me ask you, if you could play for the Seahawks right now or the Bears, and winning a title is most important to you, which team are you choosing?
Yeah, the Bears.
So I'm just saying, Dick Williams has resigned as the Reds president of baseball ops.
Were you upset about this?
I didn't know who Dick Williams was.
Well, he's the president of baseball ops.
I know who the Cubs president is. I know, but I wasn't keeping close tabs on it from a distance. I told you I'm a bandwagon Reds fan these days. Like, I'm not ashamed to say it. And as we mentioned earlier, Washington has benched quarterback Dwayne Haskins, and they've turned to Kyle Allen for the start against the Rams. And not only has Haskins been demoted from being their starter, he is now their third team quarterback behind Alex Smith.
Alex Smith, one hit away.
There's got to be something there, isn't there? I mean, like, we're going to...
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, it's not just about the play. I mean, there has to have been some sort of disagreement or something that went on there.
Or he doesn't prepare well?
Something. I don't know. And by the way, did you see, Sylvie sent this story. My wife tells me all the time that Danielle Collins is like the in some ways, one of the more disliked women on the tennis tour, because she's just, she even says she's like not friendly with people. She kicked her boyfriend out of the French Open stadium.
It was like an outburst, right? It's an empty stadium, and she's not doing well.
Yes.
And then she yells at her boyfriend, who's also her trainer, that he's distracting her.
Sit in a different spot. Sit in a different spot. I'm distracted, she yelled at him.
That's what
we call projecting.
Would Cara ever yell at you during one of her matches if it was going poorly?
No, I don't think so. She would swear, but not at me, I don't
think.
Not
at you, just swear in general.
Yeah. So that's kind of a weird story. Hey, speaking of weird, when we come back, a little something we like to call the nuttiest story of the day.
3 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Don't you forget about me, Black. Nuttiest story of the day, brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. You know what they say, a night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little nutty.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's like a Zag Nut.
Yeah, Zag Nut. The headline's quite shocking here. Man pooped in a box at a Michigan Meijer store. Put it back on the shelf, police say.
Oh, that's terrible.
Van Buren Township in Michigan. Police are looking for a man they say pooped in an empty box before sealing it back up and placing it on a shelf.
He was a part of the Van Buren gang.
At a Michigan Meijer store. Why takes me back? It takes me back to my college days for a second. According to the Van Buren Township Police Department.
Have you done this? The
incident occurred around the store located at 9701 Bellevue Road at 3:50 p.m. in the afternoon.
Were
you a box pooper?
Police posted security footage of the bizarre incident to their Facebook page, but took it down at the request of Meijer officials who cited their corporate policy as a reason. According to the Detroit Free Press, the man also stole something before he left the store.
I want to know what you did, because
you've ignored this. A light-colored Ford Escape. So if you see a guy in Van Buren Township in Michigan in a light-colored Ford Escape, please know he is the Meijer Pooping Bandit.
He's a poop boxer.
I told you this story. One of my college teammates pooped in a cookie tin. Covered it.
Doug Flutie pooped in a tin?
No, don't say that. It was not Doug Flutie. He was never a teammate of mine. He graduated the year before I got there. One of my buddies pooped in a cookie tin, covered it, put it under the bed of another teammate, like behind, like in the dorm rooms were small, so you had to use underneath your bed to store a lot of your stuff. So he found a little spot behind everything to put it in. So one of my roommates or one of my buddies would always say, my God, this guy, boy, Brett, he stinks. I know what's wrong with him. At the end of the semester, the end of the year, everyone was packing up to go away. And Brett picked up this cookie tin, like, what is this? And opened it up. And there was a three-month-old turd in there. It's one of the greatest pranks of my collegiate years.
See, but do you see what happened to you when you used to host these post-prom parties? You see what happened?
Oh, dude, I got upper decked or whatever it's called, top shelf to whatever it's called at one of the parties.
Yes.
At Foxy's old house.
See, you thought it was funny when you guys used to do it.
Yeah.
Not so funny when it's your place.
Standing on the toilet and pooping in the back end of the toilet.
And that's how you're assuming it got there.
I got to fish it out. I told you the story. My wife wanted me. She knew who it was. She wanted me to take it out, put it in a bag, and she was going to drive it over to the kid's house and put it on the front seat of his truck.
You should have.
No, I told her, listen, the last thing you want to do is get arrested, A, for trespassing, breaking into somebody's car and putting their own poop in their car.
Poop war.
She wanted so bad. She was so mad. It's not a fun experience. I'm just going to tell you.
That guy had this tin of cookies with a turd in there.
Yeah.
For 3 months underneath his dorm bed.
I mean, it's one of the best, I think, pranks of all time, isn't it?
It really is good.
Good work, Ed Durant.
Ed Durant.
Here's quick before we play a little game called Florida or Ohio. Beer company's going to pay you $50,000 to travel the country. They say it's for the love of your job. If for the love of your job. If you love your job, you'll never work a day of, in your life. Michelob Ultra is giving you a chance to do that. The American beer company owned by Anheuser-Busch is hiring a chief exploration officer to travel the country for 6 months, repping Michelob Ultra and posting photos at national parks to the brand's social media accounts. Company announced about a couple weeks ago, and they're going to pay you $50,000 plus expenses.
That's pretty cool. That is a pretty cool thing.
All right. You want to play a game?
Yes.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Man knifes family member during what? Almond milk fight.
Wow, they were healthy and they had a knife fight.
An argument over whether almond milk or whole milk was the superior milk turned violent when a man allegedly slashed his cousin with a pocket knife. According to a arrest report.
Cousin Chuck. He was hanging outside the convenience store.
Police responding Sunday afternoon to a disturbance arrested a man for aggravated battery, which is a felony.
For knifing a family member over a fight.
He got into a verbal argument over which milk is better, almond milk or whole milk. The dispute became physical when the man became enraged at the victim for disagreeing with him. The man punched his cousin in the forehead, prompting the victim to strike the other man in the shoulder. That's when the alleged pulled out a pocket knife with a 3-inch blade and began chasing his cousin through the front yard.
Do you know, people in life that have to be right about everything, right? When you get into an argument.
This reminds me of Zetterman. Like, Zetterman.
I was going to say Meller. Like, I'm not going to say Meller would stab you, but, like, Meller will fight you to the end. Word, like, are you with. He'll call you after the show to tell you you were wrong again. About an argument.
See, I thought it was more about Zetterman because it's health conscious and he takes offense if you don't do like he does.
Oh, I thought I was talking just about arguing and the importance of being correct. That
I'm gonna go
like,
Tallahassee.
Yeah, I like that's Tampa in the spirit of this week with the Bucks coming to town. I'm gonna say totally Tampa.
Good old fashioned panhandle.
You're going Destin, maybe
Florida. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know where this place is. Hold on. Talk amongst yourselves.
We just did.
Yeah.
That's what we were doing.
Well, I'm just trying to see, like, in relation to where it is.
How do you get
almond
milk? That's got to
be
Florida, then.
Since we have to waste time here.
Okay. A man knifed his cousin during an almond milk argument in Lehigh Acres, Florida.
Yeah.
Which is just east of Fort Myers.
Okay. Close to Tampa.
Right. Yeah, we all win.
Yeah, totally Tampa.
Speaking of Tampa, there was a great story told today on Cap and Company by Gene Deckerhoff. I don't know if you knew about this, Waddle. I want to share this with you. And then what will happen if teams miss multiple games because of COVID in the NFL? It's easy to make up in baseball. How do you do it in the National Football League? We'll discuss that in 2 minutes.